One of the incredible things about our Heavenly Father is that He shares with us and prepares us how to live in the reality of this world. Any good parent, what do? We equip our children to be able to live life in this world. Our Heavenly Father is no different. That's why He gives us His Word. The Holy Spirit takes from what He's thinking and He communicates that to us. And all the time we are experiencing the incredible sort of the heart of our Father and what He wants to share, because that's what we need to be able to live today. That's what we need to be able to get established so that we can step into our tomorrows. And so it's a very now word all the time that our Father shares with us. And in John chapter 16, you know that in verse 33 where Jesus says to the disciples, in this world you're going to have lots of troubles, but fear not, for I have overcome this world. And our Father wants us to be able to live in the reality of what it is to be a child of God in Christ Jesus who has overcome this world. And that is why what He shares with us, we're going to face the troubles, as He said, we're going to face all kinds, but fear not. And that's why to know the fatherhood of God, to know that we are loved by our Father, it removes the fear that we may have. And that fear may come in various forms, whether it is fear of lack or fear of the future, whatever the case may be, of the unknown, that still is not in the Father's heart. Perfect love drives out fear. And so He's helping us to live as a child of God. And so I'm going to look at quite a few scriptures, but I'm going to come back to this one in Colossians 2. And as we see, as we've been reading this Colossians 2, we notice over there that as Paul writes, and he said, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. And that is what we are being established in quite a bit. I don't know about you, but very often I connect with a psalm, in Psalm 8, when the psalmist writes over there, and he says over there, what is man that you're mindful of him? Don't you get to that place now and again where you say, God, who am I? Because he's just so brilliant. He's so, and you sort of, wow, who am I really in Christ Jesus? What is this new creation in Christ Jesus? Who am I? And very often I get to that place where it's just like, who am I? And the Holy Spirit starts to really just open up more and more of what it is, what is a child of God really is all about. And we grow into that. And so the psalmist, and I like the passion it says over there, but I have to ask this question. Why would you bother with puny mortal man or care about human beings? And it speaks about the honor that He's given to man and the position that He's given to mankind on this earth. Our Father wants us to know who we are as a child of God. What it means to be a new creation in His Son Jesus. What it means to be born again. What it means to live loved by the Father. And that is why the Holy Spirit will continually, because He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, the only one who knows the thoughts of God the Father. And He makes it known to us, spirit to spirit. And so that we have the mind of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit will always share with us what our Father thinks about us. and he gives us truth. And that's why all the time it's learning to replace what we're thinking with what the Holy Spirit shares. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And remember what Jesus says, who are my disciples? that my disciples are those who take hold of my teaching, who get established in my teaching, and now begin to live out and abide in my teaching, then that truth will set you free, and you will know the truth, and it will set you free. And that is why it's such an onslaught on the minds of people, the unsaved and the unsaved. Remember, Satan has blinded the minds of the unsaved. But for the believers, for us as believers, we've got so much junk in this mind of ours. Religion. We've got so much religion about who we are, who our Father is. We've got so much religion that prevents us from receiving the Father's love and living loved by the Father. We've got so much religion in our being that we've got to do this in order to be loved by our Father. We've got to perform in order to be accepted by God. All this stuff. And the Holy Spirit's giving truth so that all of that we are no longer, is not there, so that we can really live receiving the Father's love. I don't know about you, but are you able to receive the Father's love and truly just live loved by the Father in every area of our lives? And that's, we're growing there. The Holy Spirit's giving truth all the time. And remember, every time He gives truth, that's the Father saying, this is my love through my Son Jesus. This is what Christ did on the cross for you, so that you can now enter into what I'm sharing with you and know the depth of my love for you and for the people of the nations. And all the time, it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit. So, in that 1 John, and we've gone through that a few times, but in 1 John chapter 3, let me just read that again. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that He has lavished on us. He has called us and made us His very own beloved children. That's what our Heavenly Father has done. He has called us and He has made us to be His very own beloved children, loved by Him. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they don't recognize Him. And that's what you will find. You know, that's what you live with joy, and the world look at you and they say you're crazy. They don't recognize you because they don't know the Father. They don't know the Father's love. They don't know you can have joy because you are participating in the joy of Jesus. You've learned the secret. You see, you've learned the secret of God. You've learned the secret. And Paul says over there, I've learned the secret to be satisfied, to be content, whether I've got much or little, because I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. He strengthens me. That's the secret. And that's why we can have joy no matter what, because we've learned the secret. We're participating with the joy of Jesus Christ. We're participating with He has overcome this world. We're participating His life within us. That's the incredible secret, that participating in His divine nature. And the reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize Him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. This is who we are. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become, but we do know that when He is finally made visible, we will be just like Him. This is referring to Jesus Christ. For we will see Him as He truly is, and all who focus their hope on Him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. And that is we looked at last Sunday, where the name of Jesus refers to His humanity. And when He was exalted, He's exalted in His true human humanity. And so when He returns, we will see Him who He is, the exalted, what humanity is meant to be. And we will be like Him. We will not be divine. We will be like Him with getting a new resurrected body. Okay. And that displays the incredible life of God within us. We get a glimpse of that with Jesus, with the transfiguration. His flesh veiled His glory. And there was that transfiguration experience where suddenly His flesh was no longer veiling His glory, and the disciples, wow, and that. And so we get a little glimpse of that, but there's so much more, because Christ had not yet raised from the dead. And been exalted to the right hand of the Father. So, let's look at some scripture this morning in Luke chapter 15. A well-known portion of the parable of, some they say the parable of the lost son, but it's more the story of a father. And I want to just share just a very short thing of you about our Heavenly Father. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, in verse 11 onwards. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. The poor had learned to be content whether he had plenty or not. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And that's a reality when we don't know the fatherhood of God. We end up hiring ourselves out to systems, to the world. We become slaves. We don't live loved. We're missing out so much of the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus. And we start to just not understand what it is to be a child of God. So he went out, hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine, notice what the father is saying, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So what do we see here? This is what I want to just bring this about over here. Here, our Heavenly Father, He is the one that gives us our identity as a child of God. Remember we read over there? He has called us and made us His very own beloved. And so here's this son that is now messed up with all these thoughts and has been contaminated by his actions and his experience and all that is there, and he's now thinking, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. I now need to be like a slave. But the Father, a Heavenly Father, He doesn't accept that. A Heavenly Father, because that's not who we are. God has made us sons and the children of God. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. So with all this rubbish in his mind, he comes there and the father sees him and he starts to blah, 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 blah. And the father, let me demonstrate fatherhood in your life. Let's have a party. My son, not my slave, my son has come home. You see, God the Father is giving us our identity as sons and daughters of God. Satan is the father of lies. And he gives identity that's opposite to our Heavenly Father. And so we strive and we're doing all this kind of stuff to try and find our identity. So we do everything to our bodies. We get into all kinds of behavior, etc., in order to be accepted and to have identity. That's so pathetic. You see, but that's a reality because Satan has blinded the people and they do not know the love of the Father. And as believers, we can get caught up in all this stuff and trying to find our true identity outside the reality of knowing our Father's love. Now our Heavenly Father is communicating to us here that He is the one who has made us. He has called us, He has made us to be His children, and that's who we are. Are we able to receive it? Because sometimes there's so much junk that we battle to receive because my past. Oh, I've done this. Oh no, I'm guilty. And what's happening there? We're bypassing the cross of Jesus. We're bypassing that the Father and His Son has reconciled us to Himself, not holding our sins against us. You see, so when we come with all this junk in our mind, we're bypassing what Christ has done. Now, we've got to repent. I'm not going to think that way. Father, I receive the fact that through Your Son Jesus, You've reconciled me to Yourself. You're not holding my past against me. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Wow. See, receive the fatherhood of God. Receive the Father's love in our lives. Okay. Otherwise, the enemy will take hold of your thoughts and he messes up over there. And you'll be amazed. You know, I deal with so many people and phone calls, you know, and all this coming and coming and coming. And I would probably say that the biggest issue is that the body of Christ does not know the love of the Father. They're still caught up in the pain of their past. They're still caught up in the pain of emotions. They're still caught up in what happened. They're still caught up in childhood abuse. They're still caught up in childhood whatever. They're so traumatized that they just cannot open up. You see, all that stuff is preventing them from just simply receiving that God has poured His love into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there. But they don't know how to receive because there's so much hurt. Okay. So, you've got to minister in those areas to get the breakthrough into people's lives so that they can start to receive. And it comes, sometimes it comes like this father said, shut up for a moment. Let me demonstrate fatherhood. And he began to have a party for his son. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We've got to just demonstrate fatherhood. And that's where the miracles and the signs and wonders plays a big part. That's where the miraculous inner healing plays a big part. So that they can, wow, despite all this, say, Father, I'm starting to taste and see that You are good. And then started to receive that little bit of the fatherhood of God into their lives. And then, wow, and then they can receive more and more and more. Because now the river is starting to open. Because it's from the Spirit to their soul that they're starting to experience the Holy Spirit saying, Abba Father to them. And then it carries on, and we see over here, meanwhile the older brother was in the field, and when he came near the house he heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. What a father. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed you, your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property, with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Once again, what do we see here? We see this mindset of the elder brother. A son in the family. Once again, the son's mind is messed up. There's all kinds of junk in his mind. And he comes, and the Father, once again, the Father has to impart truth to the Son, because he's not thinking correctly. He hasn't received what it is to be loved by the Father. He hasn't understood the reality of the Father's incredible inheritance for him. And exactly for you and I at this very moment, because our Father wants us to know that, if, as Jesus says, what belongs to the Father belongs to me. We are in Christ Jesus. What belongs to the Father belongs to you and I. And he's wanting us to begin to accept that fact, to be able to receive, Father, that in Christ Jesus we have been blessed in every spiritual blessing. We live like orphans. We live like slaves. We live in this world, and we don't know how to live yet properly in the reality that, Father, everything that belongs to you belongs to us. Why do I feel fear so much? Why? And the Father is correcting the thinking. And so you and I, we're in this time now because the Father is involved in building. Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia. So God the Father is involved in something, building his family here on this earth. And we are involved in that process. And very often we can have this mindset, I'm lacking this, I'm lacking that, I'm not equipped enough, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. And that, and the Father is saying, no, renew the mind. Renew the mind. I've poured my Holy Spirit into you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. He's your helper. And everything that belongs to me, you have. Get involved in the Great Commission. What God has called you to do, get involved. Step out. Respond. See, we need to start learning to live as a son. And not like the older brother. We need to start learning. And this is big. I don't yet have much revelation. But all I know that the Father is wanting us to be able to receive this truth and come to the place and say, Father, teach me. Teach me. Because I can see myself in both of the sons. And I need you to teach me how to live as a son, as a daughter, loved by you. I need to know that. Jesus is an example. He's living as a son. A human, fully God, fully man. He's living as a man, as a son of God. And we see how Jesus lived. Not like any of those sons. So he's showing us how we are to live because we are a new creation in him. See, we are in him. He is our life. And he's showing us how to live. He's modeled a way of how a child of God lives, loved by the Father. Okay. And so we carry on there. And so that is why Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just read that prayer. And you'll start to see the apostolic prayers, why they're so key in taking away junk that we have in our minds and putting in the truth, the proper foundation of the Word of God. And so Paul prays and he says here, well, it's in him we were also chosen. It carries on. For this very reason, verse 15, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. We see this incredible prayer over there that Paul is praying and he's asking, Father, please let your spirit just break through into the family of God. So they can begin to just realize who they are as children of God. They begin to realize this great inheritance that's in us, Christ in us. This great inheritance that Father, when Jesus said, Father, send the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? When the Spirit of God comes, then I and the Father will come and make our dwelling in you. The great inheritance in us. The Father's home in us. Fatherhood in us. And so Paul is praying that this will become true revelation for each and every one of us over there. And so we pray for truth. And that's why, remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we see then verse 3, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And so here we see once again the reality where God gives truth. Now, that truth has divine power to demolish the junk, the strongholds, that's preventing us from receiving the Father's love. That's the sword of the Spirit, is alive and it's active. The Holy Spirit, he called the Spirit of Truth, he takes from Jesus and makes known to us what Christ did in his death and resurrection, what it is to be a son and a daughter, and he makes it known to us, and that has divine power to smash any single stronghold, no matter how powerful that stronghold has been in one's life. No matter the memories and the pain to that stronghold, the truth of the Spirit of God is alive, it's active, it's life, it's freedom. And that's what needs to be shared. And that's what we pray for this community. That a whole community, a nation, Father, that your Holy Spirit will give truth to break the strongholds in the people's minds, because that's why they behave like they behave. Because there's so much strongholds that need truth. And you and I as children of God, we've been given the message and the ministry of reconciliation. We cannot keep quiet. You see, we need to testify. We need to share. We need to witness to people. You see, we need to proclaim the good news. We need to demonstrate the good news. Because it's the power of God. That's the way he's chosen for us to be his ambassadors. As you know, without me having to tell you, this is not a church. This is not where you come and we come and we have kair. No, this is a place where our Father shares a message, inviting us to participate, because we're involved in a 1947 mandate to see the people in the whole community live loved by the Father. You know, an amazing truth when Philip, remember Philip was one of the seven that was chosen. Stephen was stoned and he operated in tremendous signs and wonders wherever he went. Philip the same, Philip the evangelist, he goes and mighty signs and wonders are taking place in that town. And the word there is so profound and says, and there was joy in that city. Hey. And I asked myself the question, this city needs joy. See, and the miracles, the signs and wonders, and the healings and the deliverance that was taking place in the people of that city brought them great joy. Great joy. Press in. Stretch out your hand, Father. Show me how to operate so that your signs and wonders are evident in this community, so that this community can have great joy. What will bring joy to a community of unemployment? What will bring joy to a community where there's all the cancer and all the sicknesses and all the grief that's taking place? What will be joy in a community where is crime and the evidence of so much wickedness? We're the body of Christ. We're here because God loves the people of this town. Wherever you may be, God loves the people. That's why we're here. Your seats may be a bit hot because the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time. No more pew, no more excuses. It's time. Step out. be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says you to do throughout the week, whether it's just to make a phone call for someone, whether it's just learn to respond to the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be, step out and do what the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do. And so, yes, so here we see the great power of the Holy Spirit operating. But Jesus, let me go back there, because there's joy in the city. And all the people, all the citizens, the residents of that city is full of joy. And Jesus comes and Jesus takes it further. Because now the city is full of joy, but Jesus says to the guys, if you love me, that motive of love for me, you will obey me. Not as a slave, but because you love. So that's the motive for obedience, is loving him. And he says, my Father will love you, as the Father loves me, so I will love you. And he says, now remain in my Father's love by obeying, so that my joy may be in you. So all of a sudden here we see the incredible community full of joy because of the incredible goodness of God, the miracles that was taking place. And he says to the believers, you want to remain in my joy? You want him to remain and to continue to walk in the reality of my love, so that a community can know what love is all about? You need to just keep on keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Because as we keep in the step with the Holy Spirit, then the joy of Jesus is made known and we experience the fullness of joy within us. How many joyful Christians do we know? How many Christians do we know that can just complain and moan about the government and about this and about that? Ouch! Because that's evidence that we are not listening to the Holy Spirit and just going with the Holy Spirit and doing what the Holy Spirit has told us to do. But you guys are full of joy, so it doesn't apply, yeah. But tell your believers in the workplace, it's time for joy. And teach them how to receive joy. Because they need to receive the joy of Jesus. How to partake in His divine nature. He's full of joy. The fruit of the Spirit, one of it is joy. And so He's given us the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you one scripture quickly, just to open up something and you can think about it. Back in Colossians chapter 2, for in Christ, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of their deity lives in bodily form. And that's why with Jesus, although he's fully man, he's fully God. The fullness of God dwells in that human body. Okay? And he says over there, and you have been given fullness. In other words, we receive our completion in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what it means over there. And then it carries on. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised. In the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Now, it carries on there, but let me just share this. When God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17, God said to them, I'm giving you a land, Canaan, that's my promise, that's your inheritance. And it's going to be an everlasting covenant, this. He goes on and he says, now I'm giving you a sign of that covenant, circumcision. Now every male that is not circumcised has no part of the inheritance. We have been circumcised by Jesus. We have an inheritance. It's a permanent inheritance as a child of God. Heaven is our home. God is our home. His heart is our home. It's permanent because of the circumcision that we have by Christ Jesus. So we have full inheritance. We have entered into the promise, His Son Jesus, and we have received the incredible life, the love of our Father. But there's much more there, but time is gone. Amen. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, this morning we want to just thank you that we can Spend time reflecting who we are. Oh, and the floodgates are open. And I just see multitude running to you, Father, and you just running to them. And how you, by your Holy Spirit, is going to give truth to replace all the junk, as we see in the sons of that parable. Father, I'm asking this morning for laborers. I'm asking for evangelists that know your heart, that understand your heart, that understand and lives in fatherhood. I ask for evangelists that live in the reality of your, of being loved by you, Father. And I ask for teachers. Father, we ask for teachers that know what it is to be loved by you and live in the reality as sons and daughters, loved by you, a new mindset. I'm asking, Father, for the maturity of sons and daughters by the work of your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you minister to us and the stuff that's in our mind that can be a blockage. Oh, you have an amazing way, Jesus, to just remove that now and to release that from our thoughts, from the impact that those thoughts have had into our emotions, our bodies, our physical manifestations. And I just declare freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that our old mind, all that junk, was crucified with you and buried. And in your resurrection, now we can truly say we have the mind of Christ. And so we accept that as your Holy Spirit shares with us truth that is found in you. Because you are the fullness of grace and truth. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the joy that is just being released in all of us here. Thank you for the freedom that joy brings. Thank you how this powerful joy that works in us, that your joy removes all the junk, and the joy of being loved, the joy of acceptance, the joy of you being our Father, the joy of us being your children, the joy of us being family. Thank you for that. So over our community, over this town, we speak the name of Jesus. And the joy that is in Jesus, we release grace and truth over everybody's lives living in the community, living in Mitsumohoro. And we release the joy of the Lord. Thank you. Father, thank you for the angels as they respond to this prayer in just helping many, many prodigals and the elder sons coming back to you and finding truth, finding the identity from you and you alone. And I pray for us in the natural, Father, as families, that we as children, no matter how messed up we may be in this town about our identity, ask now that we will hear you speak so that the population of 1947 of Mitsumohoro will find the identity in you as our Father. Make your fatherhood real through Jesus Christ. Amen.